Okay, Sunday morning, 7/7/24. We're going to look at a prophet's corner first. It's called Facing Your Giants. All right. Y'all ready to face your giants? All right. Let me let him get done. We'll... All right. Fear is Satan's MO. When you feel fear, then know that Satan is nearby. He just entered your situations and circumstances. You know, when you feel fear. Now you know who is here when you feel fear. Even though it is false, it certainly appears real. It becomes your responsibility at this point to act on the false or claim and act on what is real. If you remember this, it will keep you from being moved and you will stand firmly in your faith against it. In other words, when you're going through things and it comes at you, then you need to look at it and say, huh, something good must be going to happen. Look who just showed up. He's here to steal, right? The choice is yours. When David stood before Goliath, he was not moved by fear, but everyone else that day was. Who got the victory? The one that faced the fear and didn't let him stop him? All that was required that day was faith. No weapon was needed. For I slew the giant for David. God slew the giant. That rock did not slay that giant. He released me to fight his battle for him. David's faith released God to fight the battle for him. The battle belongs to the Lord. I want everything I'm going to say today, please take it to heart. It'll change you. I'm not asking you to fight your battles. I'm looking for your faith to release me to fight your battles, just like I fought David's battle. Too many want me to intervene first, but that is not faith, that is fear. When you get a hold of this, it will make you a giant killer, just like David. When the fear came, that was a, what they call a deterrent. In other words, like, well, take a submarine, for instance. When they've been fired upon, they'll send a deterrent to get the missile to be distracted in some way, disarm itself, or whatever it does, to get it away from them. Fear doesn't mean anything's wrong with you. Fear just means you're on track and I want to get you off track. All the world and most of the church are operating in reaction mode, most about everything. If they don't, somebody, the preacher prays for them and they don't get it instantly, the next day they're at the doctor or the banker. They don't understand that it takes action, faith, to get me involved in their situation. They trust me is what they say, but their actions speak otherwise. Your actions will reflect your beliefs. I have provided my armor for every battle that you face. In Ephesians 6, talk about the armor of God. It didn't say your armor, it said the armor of God, right? Do I need to go read it again? Have I not read it enough? Always remember and never forget that when fear is felt, the enemy is behind it and challenging you, just like Goliath challenged David. Psalms 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Who's in the lead during that trek of the valley of the shadow of death? God is. This walk through the valley of the shadow. What is a shadow here? I wrote it, got it. Shade of death. the gray, figuratively, calamity. That's what fear does. It brings Satan's agenda to you. No, don't believe God, believe this, and do stuff to make your emotions get on track with that instead of on staying in faith. That song, I'm gonna read Mark Willard's song here in a minute. Talks about 1,000 warriors shaking in their armor. And David stood before the giant and slew the giant. Now, is it what could happen based on your action or your reaction? In other words, you have everything to do with the outcome. How were Joshua and Caleb able to go in and take out all the giants of the promised land? Their faith caused their enemies to fall before them. They loosed me to do the heavy lifting. All I required of them is that they believe me. He told Joshua to meditate in his word day and night so he would be a success. What was different between Joshua and Caleb and from the other thousands of Israelites that ended up dying in the wilderness? Two out of thousands, maybe millions. All right, I'm going to read this psalm to you. This is Psalm 78. You know, God's already armed us with his very own armor right here. This starts with verse 9, Psalm 78, 9. The children of Ephraim were being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his work wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth, so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it all fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God, and they both remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless they didn't flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he in his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. limited him. How they acted limited them. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail, and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail, and their flocks to the hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence, and smote all the firstborn of Egypt, the chief of their strength and the tabernacles of Ham. I won't read the rest of that. You get the idea. All right. Sadly, most in our world do not win. That's a fact. They do not win. They may die and go to heaven, but they did not reign in life like I intended for them to do. Romans 5:17, the mission statement, that we reign in life. Yeah. We stand before our situations and circumstances today just like David did. And God is not asking us to slay them. He's looking for your faith so he can act on your behalf. He is the giant killer. He gets all the glory. Our struggle has been that we are trying to slay the giants in our life. We're trying to get something to change. We're doing anything and everything we know to do. All we know to do to get a change. Am I right about that? Mm-hmm. How do you attain a testimony? By going through tests. The battle belongs to the Lord. That's 1 Samuel 17:47. I'm going to look at that. It's just that one scripture there. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. That's how we need to look at what we're facing today, that the battle belongs to the Lord. He's not expecting you to fight in this battle. He's expecting you to believe him. Oh, wait. I want to read this to you. This is called With You, and it's Mark Willard. All right. He starts out with saying, "You've been so good to me. How can I find the words to thank you? Healer of broken hearts and broken dreams. Lord, I will never cease to praise you. With you, all things are possible. Like an eagle, I can soar. With you, the giants fall. They rise no more. With you, I overcome when fear and faith collide. There's nothing I can't do. Anything is possible with you. I'm constantly amazed. You are a God forever faithful. And I look back on my history of grace, could not be anything but grateful. With you, all things are possible. Like an eagle, I can soar. With you, the giants fall. They rise no more. With you, I overcome when fear and faith collide. There's nothing I can't do. Anything is possible with you. No mountain is too high. There's no valley that's too deep. You're calling me to walk that way, so I will take the lead. With you, all things are possible. Like an eagle, I can soar. With you, the giants fall. They rise no more. With you, I overcome. When fear and faith collide, there's nothing I can't do. With you, all things are possible. Like an eagle, I can soar. With you, the giants fall. They rise no more. With you, I overcome. When fear and faith collide, there's nothing I can't do. Anything is possible with you." It's a wonderful song. I've got it memorized. Because it's true. God is not asking us to fight our battles. He's asking us to believe him to to do it for us. And as this progresses this morning, you're going to begin to see how we can do it. It's not impossible. It's easier than you think. All right.